Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Adam Kester. He's a biologist with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission based here in North Platte, Nebraska. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
You get to work on a lot of, would it be fair to call it land management issues?
I would say it'd be fair to call it that, but a lot of hunter opportunity stuff, a lot of habitat work, work with a lot of landowners, obviously.
And CRP just opened up. Matter of fact, I've heard a couple commercials this week that are running about it. So first of all, define CRP. What is it?
Yeah, so CRP is, really important for Nebraska, for one thing. CRP stands for the Conservation Reserve Program. It is a program that's administered and paid for through the USDA. And so it's a voluntary conservation program that if a landowner wishes to take some unproductive ag land or ag land they wish not to farm anymore, offer it into this type of program, will establish habitat on that property. They'll get an annual payment in return and obviously a lot of the wildlife benefit.
And that's one of the keys, I think, is there is a financial incentive to the landowner to do this.
Right.
And I've known a lot of landowners that have taken advantage of it.
Right. And so as far as the payment through the USDA, they base it on multiple factors, obviously location, but your soil types are probably the largest determining factor of what you're going to get paid per acre. And so the best way to understand what your rate's going to be is get a hold of your local FSA office.
Right.
They can run you a scenario that doesn't commit you to anything and get back to you fairly soon and say, hey, your property's going to fall at this much per acre. And then at that point, the landowner can make the decision and still have time, to talk to any others that might have some influence and management on the place and either go forward or decide to continue farming.
I would imagine that if you have riverine, river bottom type ground to put into that, that might be a few dollars more than the middle of the Mojave Desert.
Right. The higher soil types typically pay more. The higher, highly productive soil types typically pay more than the lower. And one of the requirements, through the CRP program is that there has to be some farming history on those acres. And so as of right now, the property has to be farmed 4 out of 6 years between 2012 and 2017.
I never knew that, never heard that constituent. So how does that apply, or how would it apply to ranchers up in the Sandhills? They're grazing, but they're not farming.
Right. So general CRP is targeting more or less row crop production.
Oh, okay.
There's a CRP grasslands option that's not open currently. There will likely be an opening for that if all the acres available don't get used up during the general and continuous offering. Then the grassland option would be available. And in that program, essentially a landowner would enroll their ground, more or less making a commitment not to farm it, agreeing to a grazing plan, right, to more or less maintain that grassland.
I don't think people realize that there's a finite number of acres that go into this. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska, I think it's set at the federal level, and they say that Nebraska has X amount of acres they can do this. So if you have an idea that you want to, you better jump on it because it might be gone.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because it is nationally competitive. So everybody puts in their offer. So right now for continuous and general CRP, and continuous is a horrible way to put it. I don't know why they named it continuous because everybody thinks, oh, it's forever.
Yeah.
It's perpetual. Well, it's not. Continuous means that they offer acres and they're there until they're gone. So basically there's no real deadline with continuous acres in most cases. They allot states so many acres and they're there until they're gone. Well, the general sign up is a little different in that, right now there's 1.7 million acres available nationwide for new enrollments or re-enrollments of CRP that just expired this year.
That's not a lot nationwide.
And so So it's going to be competitive is kind of what is, you know, what the message is. And so if folks have an interest in CRP, have some pivot corners or odd field edges that they want to square up, make it easier to farm, definitely, you know, chat with the local FSA.
You mentioned the pivot corners, and that is probably one of the most productive ones I've ever seen. And that with Pheasants Forever and that Corners for Wildlife program they got. And what's there, like 7-something acres in those corners?
Right, yeah, it's typically the average.
And I've seen some pretty good pheasant hunting come out of those.
For sure. And, you know, in the right landscape, you know, especially when it comes to pheasant production, unfortunately, pheasants and mature trees don't really mix when it comes to production. No. You start thinking about it, you're like, you know, if I was going to set a live trap out there and try to catch a raccoon, where am I going to put that live trap? You know, we're going to do it next to trees. We're going to do it in a corridor that, you know, they're likely going to be following. And so when you talk about a productive pivot corner, a lot of times they're productive when they don't have a lot of predator habitat nearby.
Right.
And, you know, obviously the grass quality is good with good diversity and structure. I mean, a weed patch in a lot of cases is the best thing for a pheasant. You know, it's great lateral and overhead cover, has a ton of bugs in there.
And biologists know that the first 6-8 weeks of a young pheasant's life, bugs is 100% of its diet.
Right.
If they don't have that, they don't survive.
They need the protein. They're molting feathers almost weekly, and they're putting on weight. I mean, they need a high-protein diet, and they do get some seeds and other things too. But for the most part, you know, those insects, especially the soft-bodied insects that are going through that metamorphosis process, right, you know, currently, you know, that's really what they're looking for. And so, yeah, it's important that we have, you know, high quality habitat in the right area.
How long has CRP been in existence at the federal level and then at the Nebraska level?
So this year marks a pretty big year for the program. So this is 40 years. It started in 1985, started enrolling acres first in 86. And so, yeah, it's been a nationwide program for 40 years now. So it's a pretty big deal.
Pretty big deal. I've hunted many, many acres of CRP, and it can do well.
For sure.
What does it take to get enrolled in the program? If a landowner has some ground, they think they might want to, like you said, either take out of production or it's not, hasn't been real productive, and they want to see if they can make a little money off of it.
Sure.
How do they do that?
Yeah. So the best thing would be is, you know, obviously give the USDA Service Center a phone call. The FSA, you know, the Farm Service Agency, they administer the program. NRCS and other partners can help carry it out. If I was a landowner that had some ground, I would give our local FSA here in North Platte a phone call or stop in and say, hey, here's the acres that I'd like to offer into the program, I'd like to know my rate. And if there's ways that I can, you know, maybe, you know, a lot of times a producer will come in with an idea of what acres they'd like to put in. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we can help look at the soil type and say, hey, you know, this soil type on, you know, the other end of the field isn't terribly productive. Could be a way to square that off, gain a few more acres in the program. You know, the idea is to, you know, we want producers to continue farming the best ground and take the ground that may not be productive on the farm and consider a conservation program. There was an economist that actually put together this great slide. I couldn't even tell you who he was, but when we're promoting the CRP program, they claim that 60% of the farm makes money, 20% breaks even, and 20% loses money. And so,
and that's an average?
Yeah, yeah, just on average. Yeah, okay. I mean, that was, again, I could probably find the guy that wrote the article. But, you know, so our job is to help find that 20%, you know, and make it in the green, you know, on the farm.
Or at least break even.
Or at least break even. Exactly right. And so when it comes to the conservation program, it doesn't always come with sacrifice. I mean, a lot of cases it can come with change on the farm. But in most cases, you know, it can be more profitable, you know, if we're applying it in the right area.
What is the range, the dollar value range for the different grounds?
Yeah, right. And so it's highly variable based upon the soil types. And so, you know, in previous signups, we've seen in southwest Nebraska, I mean, anywhere from upper 40s to over $100 an acre on dry land. And so, I mean, it's a big range there.
But that can add up some serious money.
It can, yeah. And good. So, and there has been some offers come back lower than normal on some better soil types. But the best thing to do is have the local FSA run the scenario, and then there's no guessing. It's all, here's what my rate can be. Through the Game and Parks, we do have a couple different initiatives that can add on top, of that annual payment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything we're talking about today is also voluntary. I mean, nobody's getting, you know, pressured into any of these programs. And so somebody that wishes to get into CRP, in certain areas, we have sign-up incentive bonuses because we target certain areas that have available habitat that we want to create complexes for wildlife. Because, you know, as we add more in certain areas, you know, there's a better chance that those pheasants that and many other wildlife species, you know, are going to have a better chance of survival.
Great end of that sentence, so I can segue into my next question, which is how does CRP benefit wildlife?
Right. And so CRP in general, you know, what we see in there is some tall, warm season grasses. So if you're familiar with grasses, which I'm sure, Rick, you are, you know, your blue stems, your Indian grass, right. Your switchgrass, you know, your grammas, you know, a lot of your native grasses that have been here for eons, you know, that have been managed and grown on this landscape long before any of us were here.
Right.
And so a lot of those are getting planted back, but we're also introducing some broadleaf plants that are going to be more of an insect draw, that are going to provide more diversity in that stand. But there's also a lot of biological benefit too. A lot of those plants, you know, put nitrogen back in the soil.
Yeah, they act as a legume and all that stuff.
You know, cool. In a perfect world, there's a lot of diversity in our grasslands, and they all feed upon each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, you know, grow, a lot of them grow at different times of year. We have a cool season grass. We have warm season grasses. We have forbs that are flowering right now.
Right.
And forbs that'll flower, you know, into September. And so all of them kind of play their role. But as far as wildlife is concerned, you know, it's an area of habitat that is pretty scarce, you know, in Nebraska. I mean, it's, We can
take all the help we can get because Nebraska is pretty poor when it comes to public ground. So anything we can do, anything the Game and Parks can do, any other conservation agency to open that up a little more, I'm generally for it. So
right.
There's another program that you've mentioned and I looked up. It's called the Nebraska Community Access Partnership, NCAP.
Yep.
And that there's some more money there to be had. So what's that one all about?
Right. So what happened here is that Pheasants Forever actually wrote an NET grant, an Environmental Trust grant, and were awarded a good sum of money. This will be the second year of the grant, so this was last year. And we targeted the Ogallala area. In Ogallala, their local Pheasants Forever chapter was very much on board. They're looking to try to increase more access in the Ogallala area with more hunting access in the Ogallala area with the intent of bringing more business downtown. And so to try to help, the economics of things kind of work out. And this idea stemmed from Aberdeen, South Dakota, where a lot of local businesses noticed a change on the landscape, noticed a reduction in hunters coming down the main street and eating at restaurants and, you know, taking in the festivities locally. And so they pooled their money and they were paying landowners in the area to keep CRP on the landscape and keep it in their walk-in program. And they were able to measure that and they showed quite the economic return, you know, in that investment from the local community. And so we're doing a real similar thing here in Ogallala. And what a landowner can benefit is they can get $25 an acre as a one-time upfront bonus payment if they if they sign up for our Open Fields and Waters program, which is our walk-in hunting program, for a 5-year commitment. That's CRP. Any other acres, you know, any pasture ground, anything being grazed, you know, we'll do $10 per acre at one time for a 5-year commitment. So that's the NCAP program.
We got to take a break, do a couple commercials, but when we come back, I want to hear about this program you have that maybe has more access for elk hunters. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Adam Kester this morning. We're talking about conservation programs and how they can benefit both the landscape and the landowner. And I left and I put a teaser out there. You've got a program, and if I read that right, it's really kind of designed to help access for elk hunters.
Right.
So,
yeah, and I can elaborate on that a little bit. And so, you know, my job as our access program manager, I oversee all of our statewide hunter access programs. My job is try to help, you know, get more folks a place to hunt. And our Open Fields and Waters program is a great program. You know, last year we hit over 900 landowners, 435,000 acres statewide. It was a record year for us, but you know, it's not a program for every landowner.
Right.
You know, not every landowner wants anybody and everybody to come hunt. And you know,
and of course we have the idiots and slobs out there that ruin it for everybody else.
Unfortunately, you do. And
see,
and
I think that would be a great application for former military snipers. Just take them out.
You might have something here, Rick. We might have to carry this conversation on. So one of my jobs is try to figure out, you know, ways we can get more hunters on ground, work with landowners, you know, and kind of figure out how to keep their, you know, keep a landowner's requests and interests in mind. And one thing in Nebraska that, you know, I think most hunters know is our elk hunting, you know, is truly a once in a lifetime opportunity if
you're
fortunate enough to draw the bull tag.
Right.
You know, and that tag, if you harvest the bull, that's the only tag you can get in Nebraska as a general hunter. Landowners can get it multiple times. But our tags have increased, our demand has increased. You know, our elk management plan, we've been hitting our mark about every year, which, you know, kind of spurs us to continue adding tags to the landscape to deal with depredation problems, try to, you know, manage the herd the correct way. Well, the last 5 years, we've nearly quadrupled the amount of tags on the landscape.
That's a great increase.
It really is. And in the, you know, 5-10 years ago, a landowner that had elk on their place, they might get 3, 4, 5 phone calls from hunters asking to hunt. Well, in recent years, it might be 20, 30, 40. You know, it could become to the point where it can be a real burden.
Right.
I mean, and so one thing we decided is, I actually kind of stole the idea from South Dakota. They've got an elk access program. Where they do something similar. We tweaked ours a little bit, but basically if a landowner enrolls in the program, they have to have opportunity for elk on the property. They work with our local staff. If they have a history of harvest, if they have a history of sign, damage, whatever, you know, those are things we're looking for. But that landowner will get $1 an acre and agree to allow so many general tag hunters to hunt their property throughout the season.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't have to be all the time. They just have to record the hunters that...
Oh, you say a pick number, you'll take 3.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had, you know, last year we had 26,000 acres enrolled in the program. The total hunter goal on those 26,000 was 32 hunters that they had to hit in order to get paid.
Okay.
And so the actual numbers come back that we actually had 39 hunters end up hunting, so... A lot of folks agreed to so many and then let more on is what the deal was.
Well, as long as they're
cool
with that and it's, you know, it's their ground, that's fine.
So they, I mean, it's 100%, you know, their deal. They still give permission. You know, we make them a map, try to make it easy, but basically we're paying the landowner a fairly small, you know, payment or incentive to answer the phone and coordinate those hunters. They can still prioritize the landowner tags that they get, that their family gets, that their neighbor gets, You know, I mean, right. we want them to prioritize those, but then try to work in some general hunters if it's doable.
Okay. I think we got about, what, 4 minutes left, Corey? Three? Two. Okay, 2 minutes left. So I want to make sure that we get in whatever else we want to cover and how people can get a hold of you.
Sure. So another thing we're working hard on is kind of the, if you're familiar with the Airbnb or VRBO apps, you know, where you can, you know, make a hotel rental or things like that.
Reservation so, with your phone.
A reservation. So we're actually working on a reservation-based system that a landowner will be able to pick days and species open to hunt. And as a hunter, they can log in through the system, reserve that site, and have exclusive access to that site. The landowner will know about it. We're gonna it's gonna be a really neat product once we get it rolled out. We're working with our developers right now to finish that, but that's been something we've had a lot of questions about, and so that's another part of my most days right now, I guess, to put it. So
well, very good. So how do people get a hold of you or learn more about the program?
Right. So there's we've got biologists across the state. We've got district offices in you know, five different towns in Nebraska, between Alliance, North Platte, Kearney, Lincoln, and Norfolk. Any of those district offices would be a great place to start. Any of our walk-in programs would be great to start with our private lands biologists. Uh-huh. And so talking to me, you can call the Game and Parks office here in North Platte. I can certainly get you started, and we've got a couple other private lands biologists there to kind of get to do the day-to-day.
And that number is
535-8025.
8025. Got it memorized.
right. Come down, see us, see Karen. You know, we'll get you taken care of.
So. Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you for being on the show this morning.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Rick.
When pheasant season gets here, let's find one of those areas where four pivots come together.
That's a good way to pinch them down.
Yeah. So that's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.